Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, June 16th, 2018. You can find this awesome podcast on Google Play, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and I say this every week, but more to come.
Yes, I have not gotten onto YouTube or anything like that, but I'm working on it.
We should do a live show one of these days.
One of these days.
What episode are we on? 16?
Maybe 30. Maybe
we'll do like 25.
Perfect.
We'll do a live show the 25th.
Book it.
All right.
So this week's episode, we're comparing regular old RPGs. That's right, the gaming genre. We're comparing regular old RPGs with their MMO counterparts with fellow AIE Guildie Bishop. Rack Evan was going to come on as well, but he had a work conflict. So Bishop, tell us a little bit about yourself, what games you've been playing, and what you're doing in them.
All right. Well, let's see. Basically, I am a 52-year-old computer nerd by day for casino and a Sith Lord at night.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is great.
I like planes, trains, and automobiles, and
oh, that is the dark side.
Absolutely.
So, when you say planes, trains, and automobiles, are you a car enthusiast too?
Yes, a bit. I am. Yes.
Really?
69 Chevy Camaro. There is no substitute.
Wow, that is a nice car. That's actually a nice name drop.
I actually had two in my life. Not that year. First one was an 88 IROC Z, then I had a 97 Z28 30th Anniversary Edition.
Wow.
That was a sweet car, man. 350, 6-speed on the floor, posi rear. Oh, that thing was sweet.
1969 was a great year for muscle cars. The 1969 Mustang Mach 1 is legit, too.
No, the Nova is the nicest car they ever came out with in 1969.
Oh, to each their own.
Yeah, to each their own. But I didn't know that about you. So what about planes? Have you ever flown a plane?
No, I have not. Not in real life. I've flown virtually on a PC. I've done it. I do like jets, but I'm kind of a World War II fan. I like history. And I'm probably my one of my most favorite airplanes, P-38 Lightning.
Oh, which plane is that?
It's got two engines on it. It's a fighter, but it's two engines.
Oh, that's cool. I think I know the one you're talking about.
I'm sure they had it at our local air show.
Yeah, they probably did. I mean, I do like the P-51 Mustang. That's a sweet ass plane. And I've also liked the F-4U Corsair, which Navy and Marines both flew. But I think the P-38s probably would be my favorite because it's really cool. It's just different. It's probably the most different.
And from what I've heard and understand about you, Friday nights you're a conductor because you have the most epic train assembly ever.
Well, Friday nights, it depends on which Friday. I am a assistant leader with Atlantic County 4-H Train Club. And basically we do model railroading. We teach kids anywhere from 8 to 18 about model railroading. We set up displays, do different things. We have a really good time. And if I'm not doing that, our meetings are like first and third Friday, and usually all the other Fridays we usually go over our leader's house and just play with his train layout. He's got a nice train layout, rather large, in his basement. We go over, hang out, and just run trains and chill, have a good time and talk.
Are they now the trains, are they to scale? You know, because remember last night, I don't know who showed us, maybe it was Brian, he was showing us the pictures of those trains. So he said that was to scale. You guys have them to scale as well?
Different scale. The train club leader, his scale is 1/160th, which is very small. My scale is 1/87th, and the scale that you were probably looking at was probably like, maybe 1/16th.
Jeez.
So that's pretty harsh comparatively. Yeah.
There are major different scales out there. Mm. It's just a hobby I've been into since my introduction to it. I was in eighth grade when somebody introduced me to it, and I just kind of took a liking to it. You know, and then of course, you know, in the teenage years, in the younger years, cars, girls, you know how that works. Everybody goes through it. You know, yeah. See it.
Yeah, of course.
And then I came back to it, I think, when my son was 5.
That's cool.
So do you guys have your own train set up at your house?
No, I don't. I haven't done that yet, but
that's going to happen.
Eventually, yeah, it will. Awesome. I mean, right now, my son is 17. He's a junior volunteer fireman, and he's kind of concentrating. Yeah, it is. I'm very pleased. And you know, he runs with his mother. She's a volunteer fireman. He runs cool. Fires with her. And wow. You know, now he's doing his thing, and he's got friends, actual physical real friends outside of that are not on the computer, that he actually hangs out with, that are like around his own age, that are junior firemen. So it's a good cool. thing.
That's a great thing.
That is a good kid.
That's cool.
I love him.
Quick question about that. Does to be a volunteer fireman, do you need to have your EMT certification as well?
No. Okay. No, you don't. There are classes that it depends on the fire company, but
that's what I thought. Yeah.
Where I am, there are classes you take at a local college, and they do have fire schools you have to go to.
Okay. Yeah. I know. I'm asking because I have my EMT certification for Massachusetts and Connecticut. Well,
that helps.
But I don't actually use it where I'm currently working, but, I know a lot of fire departments require you to have an EMT certification as well as, you know, your firefighter training.
Yeah, I think they offer it, but to my knowledge, no, because our ambulance is a separate entity.
Yeah, like it's a private company. That's not a lot of places work. I was just curious.
Yeah, it's different.
Sure. So what cool. games do you play?
Well, as you know, I am a tour player. I also have a life subscription in Star Trek Online, which... Whoa. My tune is my main tune, which is named Bishop, is in, spelled the same way, is in the AIE Guild in Tor. My MMO life started with Star Wars Galaxies, Sony Star Wars Galaxies, and it probably, I want to say 15 years ago.
Wow, is that long ago that came out?
I can't remember, but I was playing when it first came out, then I stopped, then I started back up. Literally, I was a guild leader of our guild for a while, and we had a good group. We were doing all the heroics. We had all the jewelry, everything. And then I finally switched servers, and we moved. And I moved to, the guys just kind of stopped playing. And I moved to a different server and got in with another guild and got some more life out of it, which is great. You know, but other than that, I mean, there's a couple of train games I have on my PC. They're virtual. I've played. They're just like, I guess, like RPGs type games or
yeah,
single player, you know.
Yeah, I do. Well, then we'll get into that later today.
Absolutely. I've also played World of Warships.
World of Warships?
Is that a mobile game?
Both. It's on the... It just recently got on the phone, but it's a PC game.
Wow, I didn't know that. I thought it was only a mobile game.
Mm-mm. Nope, it was on the PC first. It's like you've heard of World of Tanks, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Same company. Except
well, actually, warships. Right?
Yeah. It's, except
they're like, hey, yeah. We're gonna make tanks. Oh, why not do warships?
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
make some money.
I've played sure. that. That's pretty cool. I've played that. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But I do. Yeah, I've played, like I said, I've played in the past. I've played like Knights of the Old Republic, the RPG one. Yeah. I've also played, all the Jedi Academy, Star Wars Jedi Academy ones.
Those are great games.
Yep.
I enjoyed those.
Yeah, I did. And I play, you know, a lot of these games, when I played them, I chose the light side. Excuse me. Excuse me. And, yes. You know.
See, it is in you. See, you should have never told me that ever.
No, I can happily tell you that I have happily fallen to the correct side of the fence. And eventually the healer will yoink you over there too, Marcus.
Never. It will never, ever happen. So, Nick, what have you been up to this week?
Well, in real life news, I went to Burlington, Vermont this weekend.
Yes, you did.
With Mariana, my awesome girlfriend, best girlfriend ever, as I've mentioned before. Her brother, Dan, Dan's wife, Lindsay, and Dan and Lindsay's baby, Isabel. We had an awesome weekend. It was wicked, you know, just relaxing. The baby was great and super happy the whole weekend, which was makes life way easier, obviously. I can't just ignore what Marcus just did. So he just mega overpoured his beer, and the foam was going to be about 3 inches over the rim of the glass, and he saved it with his awesome sucking skills. No comment on the rest of that.
All right, moving on.
Back at the ranch. So while we were up in Vermont, we hit up a food truck festival that also had various beers. I got to try some Fiddlehead there.
Second Fiddle?
No, I don't know. Whatever their flagship IPA is, what I had.
It's single. It's just Fiddle.
Yeah,
Fiddle IPA.
I think that's what I had.
Good.
It was great. It kind of reminded me of a Julius from Treehouse. It was like really citrusy, sort of an orangey taste to it. It was great. We also went to a farmer's market and a few other breweries. Those other few breweries were Foam, Zero Gravity, and Burlington Beer Co. Foam and Burlington Beer Co. were particularly good. Foam is pretty well-renowned in the New England beer trading arenas. Foam, unfortunately, didn't have any take-home beer when I was there. I could have gone early in the morning to go get in line, but I was on vacation. I didn't feel like, you know.
Yeah, you know what? It's not that important to you.
Right, exactly.
You weren't there to bring beer home. You were there to enjoy yourself.
Right. But fortunately, when we went to Burlington Beer Co., they did have take-home beer, so I brought home some goodies, which Marcus and I are currently enjoying.
Yes, I am.
In video game news, mega spoiler warning for the Sith Warrior class story. If you have not finished the Sith Warrior class story, I kind of already spoiled it in the past couple episodes, but I'm going to continue to do so.
Everybody's already played it.
Okay, well.
And if they haven't, they already know what happens.
Okay, well, I'm the only one, so right. I'm excited. So I finished chapter 2. I'm about halfway through chapter 3, and I'm just really pumped to fucking kill Darth Barris at some point.
Yes.
I killed his sister. I don't even remember her name.
Yeah, I was there for her.
Oh, yeah, Marcus was with me. That was awesome. So we're, you know, he's trying to be the Emperor's voice, and he's just fucking not. I'm the Emperor's Wrath, as everyone knows, which is pretty awesome. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to meeting the Emperor, which I'm pretty sure is Darth Malgus, but I'm not sure yet. But I just want to do that eventually. I think it's going to be pretty cool, but that's pretty much it for me.
Well, you know, go ahead. No, I was just going to say what's great about it is hearing a fresh voice talk about this and you not knowing the outcome, because I'm not going to fucking spoil it for you. Bishop's not going to spoil it for you.
Right.
And when you finally get to the end and you realize, like, what's what, you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is great.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'm, like, really trying to hustle and finish it. I've had, like, school and shit. I'm taking the summer class and shit, so I haven't.
Well, that's called motivated.
Yeah, I haven't had, you know, lots of free time. But any free time I have, I'm trying to get the story class line done so I can come talk about it.
Well, what's good about the game is you can play a little or you can play a lot. Like, sometimes I'll sign in and I'll just travel from one zone to the next, and then, you know, dad life kicks in and I got to go do that. So right. I get it.
But that's pretty much it for me. So Marcus, what have you been up to?
Well, let me tell you. So last Friday was my first mega monthly event. I decided to host something once a month with the AIE Guild on I didn't really set like every 3 weeks or nothing like that, because, you know, everybody's schedule fluctuates, and, you know, right now it's a summer, so I'm not trying to, you know, say, oh, let's do something July 3rd on a Friday when everybody's going to be traveling for vacation, whoever right. goes. So we did a mega world boss hunt, and
I got to get in on that. That sounds fun.
It was fun. So we had, I think, 17 or 18 throughout the night. 12 or 13 of them came from the AIE Guild, which was awesome.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it was a great turnout, and I appreciated everybody that came. And then We had the rest were from outside of the guild, people that I've run with, people that have joined the Fun Feeling Mondays with me, and just generally other people that I've met in game, which was great because it kind of gave, you know, fresh life to, you know, a guild event.
Yeah.
And since then, a few of them have joined. Scrubland Shaw, he's a Twitch streamer that plays a lot of SOTOR. He's going to join us on the podcast, which you probably didn't know that because
we haven't gone over the schedule yet.
The schedule. But he just rolled a sniper or something, and he's going to join the guild.
Sweet.
So I would say it's a great event because anytime you can host an event and you get people to join the guild, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And we want as many people as we can because the more people that come, more fun we have.
Yeah.
So that was the Friday before the big Disney excursion. Right. That's right. I went to Disney. And it was a last minute thing. So we're having our other kid coming in October. So my wife was like, I want to go to Disney and I want to do one more special thing with our daughter. And I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. So
we don't seem pumped.
No. So I booked the trip and it was great. I was all excited. And then some stuff happened at work where I couldn't go. So then I relegated my mother-in-law to go with Carrie. And when she went, so she was going to go, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to surprise them. And a friend of mine said, dude, you're going to get the greatest hug in your life from your daughter when she sees you there.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, no, no. He's like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a hug you remember for the rest of your life. I'm like, all right. So I booked the trip, didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Going to fucking Disney.
Yeah, and you're surprising them. They're... Wait, when did they get there and when do you show up?
So they got there Saturday morning. I land at like 11 o'clock at night on Saturday.
Okay.
So I basically had to fend for myself to figure it out. And fast forward to the morning, I'm all excited to see them. I'm standing there waiting. And here they come. I'm all excited. I don't say anything. So I finally say hello. My wife's excited. My mother-in-law was excited. Julia, my daughter, ran the other way screaming, I don't want you, running away.
Wow.
Like, I was arms out, ready for the biggest hug of my life. And she was like, nope, fuck you, Dad. Why are you here?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. A 2.5-year-old, whatever.
Yeah, I think she's probably just, like, so shocked that you were there, she didn't, like, know what to do.
Probably. And it was, like, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, she didn't have her coffee yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, she didn't have her milk yet.
Yeah, and I know. Your 2-year-old doesn't drink coffee, literally.
I try to get her to, but she doesn't.
Well, yeah.
I offer her my iced coffee all the time, but she refuses to do it.
Yeah, she thinks it's nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no! Runs away. But anyway, so Disney is great. I got to see Toy Story Land. I didn't get to ride any of the rides. Spoiler, the new Toy Story Land is set in Andy's backyard.
That's awesome.
And the Slinky Dog is the next roller coaster.
Oh, the Slinky Dog. I thought you meant like Andy's dog.
No, not the Golden Retriever.
Oh.
The Slinky Toy Dog is
the roller coaster?
Yeah, so you're that's riding the awesome. Slinky Dog.
Oh, that's wicked cool.
Yeah, so when I don't know what ride we were on, and I saw it from up there, and I saw Star Wars Land. I saw some crazy-ass structures. I couldn't tell what they are yet.
Yeah.
That place is going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Then I was talking to some guy that worked there, and I think I told you this before. He was talking about the Star Wars Hotel.
Yeah.
It's going to be $900 a night, minimum yeesh. Of 2-night minimum.
Double yeesh. Jesus.
Well, fuck, I want to go.
I know, you know? Do too. I would 100% go and stay there. Dude, can you imagine staying, and then you go down to, like, the bar at night, it's the cantina?
It is. That's the whole point. They're going to have, like, alien bands playing there. Yeah, it's going to be... They say that the hotel is going to be so immersive that you're not going to want to leave the hotel.
That's what I want.
You're going to go drink Carillion rum.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like,
I want the blue milk for breakfast, damn it.
Yes! Like, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
That's worth $900 a night, but little... It's $900 for the night, but it's going to be $30 for the blue milk.
Yeah, well, whatever. It's Disney. I'll pay an arm and a leg.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I spent my time at Disney riding the carousel.
Yep, because that's what Julia liked.
Yep. We met Mickey Mouse in that. We met Mickey the last time we were there, and it was cute. But, like, this time, like, Julia basically told Mickey she loved him. And, like, she, like, ran over to him, gave him a hug, and then went back and gave him a high five. Like, I think the Mickey character, whoever was playing the Mickey character, was a girl. Because she was, like, so compassionate and, like, she was stomping over, or Mickey was stomping over to the kid, and then, like, she saw that the kid was, like, kind of getting shy. And she backed up two steps and then got down real slowly, got to their level, and just put her arms out. Or his arms out.
Yeah.
And was like, okay. And then they etched closer and closer. And, like, it's funny, having kids and seeing how many parents do different techniques.
Yeah.
Like, our technique to get Julia to warm up to the characters is the autograph book. That's the sign. So right. She carries around this fucking autograph book that all these characters sign.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, her segue into talking to them.
Right.
Without words. So she just hands it to them and kind of runs away. But then they have to hand it back, but they hold it a little close, and then she goes and gives them a hug.
Ah, okay.
So we did that. Spent some time in the pool. Man, I've never been to Florida in the summer. Don't fucking go. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Just don't do it. It's like
100.
It's like the it's like the anti-Nike logo. Don't do it. Okay? Because it is so fucking hot, man. And every day at 4 o'clock, pours. Pours. Thunderstorm.
Really?
Like, one of the days, I think it was Saturday, from 4 to 6, it fucking poured. Like, it was a monsoon. Like, a hurricane was there.
Wow.
For fucking 2 hours. Thunder like crazy. Lightning was everywhere. I was sitting out on, like, our little patio balcony thing.
Veranda.
The veranda. And it was fucking crazy. I was watching lightning strike everywhere. I'm like, why the fuck would you ever want to live here?
Yeah,
like, yeah, we get thunderstorms here in New England.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, we get a thunderstorm, but they get it every fucking day.
Yeah, that's
and it's hot as balls, dude. You walk outside, sweaty nuts.
That's well, see, you gotta rock the baby powder, in my personal opinion.
They say it's bad, it causes cancer.
Well, I'd rather have dry, friction-free balls than...
Friction-free, is that the word of the day?
Yeah, friction-free.
All right. So, all of that was fun. I did get to sneak to Hollywood Studios. So
yep.
Julie was napping. I was like, look it, I need to go to Hollywood Studios. I want to get the little baby boy a gift.
Yeah.
So I went to Hollywood Studios all alone, and it's funny is all the Disney parks you can get a beer at except Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
That's where we spent most of our time.
Yeah.
So at Hollywood Studios, I knew exactly what bar to go to. I walked in, walked right to the bar, ordered the beer that I wanted, and then just mosey on through. And people were looking at me funny because when you walk around Disney, there's not many people that are walking A, solo,
oh, right,
and B, have both earbuds in just like zoning out drinking a beer.
Yeah,
they're
that's
like,
true.
Is this guy a fucking creep or what?
Yeah, it's and just the headphones
like,
in with the
I
beer
was just
by
jamming.
Himself.
So
yeah.
I wanted to get home because back to the house before Julia woke up because I just wanted to be with her because that's why I was there.
Yeah, of course.
But there was a 10-minute wait to meet BB-8.
Oh, you gotta
and a 15-minute wait to meet Kylo Ren. So I stood in front of the Y in the road, and it was like, oh, shit, which do I pick? Or you can take a hard right and just go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing there, and the clerk guy says, excuse me, sir, do you have a problem? I was like, yeah, I'm having a life crisis right now. It's probably pretty dangerous to be around me. He goes, and, you know, and I'm not thinking like 2018. I'm just thinking I'm being funny, right?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, what do you mean? Like, he kind of, I was like, do I go to BB-8? Do I go to Kylo Ren or do I just go buy my baby a gift and go back before my other kid wakes up? And he looks at me. It's kind of a no-brainer. And I was like, fuck. See you later, Kylo. See you later, BB-8. I gotta go. So I went into the store.
I would have gotten a picture with Kylo, but that's just me. Although a 10-minute wait's kind of out of the way.
10 minutes isn't a long time, dude. Well, I've seen waits are like 3 hours.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I went into like their like art gallery slash like they have all the props.
Yeah.
Like the real Kylo Ren helmet and
oh, that's cool.
All that shit. So like I got to see all that stuff, but I've seen it. I saw it 6 months ago when I was there.
Right.
So it was not as wow factor for me.
Yeah,
I was a man on a fucking mission.
Yeah, you're getting in, getting out.
So I found this print.
Oh my god. Yeah, go ahead.
Claudia something drew it, and it's, you know what a timeline is, right?
Yeah.
So it's a side-scrolling timeline, but it's of all the big points of the movies. So it starts off at, like, episode one, and it shows, like, Naboo, like, the Naboo, and it, like, goes through. And if I remember it, I'll post it to Twitter. Shows the two different... Yeah, I bought the print. And it has, like, the two Death Stars in it, and then it shows the success of that. It's fucking great. So that'll go in my kid's bedroom, which I've gotten my wife to accept the fact that because it's a boy, it's going to be a Star Wars-themed room.
Awesome.
And as we mentioned... I think we talked about this with Dent.
Yeah.
And how I'm going to do, like, the Death Star mobile.
Yeah, 100%.
And I want exploded Alderaan. And he was like, you're going to teach the kid genocide. I'm like, no. I'm going to teach him bad is not good.
Right.
But anyway.
Light side is the right side.
Light side is the right side, Bishop.
Or he could channel his anger and use it.
Yes. So, long story short is Disney was great. And I got home Tuesday.
Yep.
And it was fun. Last night... Mm-hmm. With the SUP team, we did Evie and KP, and Bishop's our main tank on that team. He just jumps and we kill. But we did Evie and KP, which are the first two operations in the game to get our new full-time member gear. So we had a player leave the game. We think he left the game because he, like, left all the servers. Like, we can't even find him. He quit the guild, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it's sad to see him go. I really liked him. He seemed like a nice guy, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just one day. He was like, hey, my sub's up. I'm done. See you later, guys. Deuces.
Yeah.
But I didn't even get to say goodbye to the guy. I was like, all right. You know, usually people stay in the Discord. So you can say, hey, man, good luck, whatever.
Yeah.
So, hey, Ned, if you're listening, see you, man. I hope to see you again someday.
Good player. Liked him.
Yeah, he was a great guy. Yeah. I hope everything goes well for him. So then on Tuesday night when I came home from Disney, he did his class story, and I just decided to tag along with him because he's completely fucking dark side in this character, and his face is all, like, mutilated. He looks like, you know, well, I don't know. What's the face? It's not a crackhead. He doesn't look like a crackhead. I don't know, like, what you could say you look like. He looks like you haven't gotten any sun, and
like, you get pale. And
yeah,
stuff
too, you're like super pale, and like your eyes are sunken because you don't sleep.
Yeah,
so like you're like a sleep deprived crackhead.
I guess. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
crackhead lamps you up and stuff, or like a crystal meth smoking person.
So anyway, so I'm following Nick around on his class story. And he's making all these fucking crazy dark side choices. And we end up with against Barriss's sister. And all he's been talking about the whole night with me is how he wants to kill Barriss. And then he decides to be all rude to his sister, which there was no need for that. But, you know, all of your thing, I would have let her live. And you're like, fuck that. She dies right here. I'm like, oh, no. She doesn't have to die. Maybe she'll be your ally.
Nope, fuck that. Everybody dies.
Exactly. So
I'll got to get all the dark side points. All of them.
So
Caragas Palace, the bar scene, all those no witnesses.
No witnesses always. I think that's
no witnesses. Listen, maybe they're trapped because they owed Caraga or Jabba money.
Nope.
And like, you know, they're there because they have to be, and you guys just fucking kill these guys. There's no need to kill
them. Oh, no.
Yeah, I think there was some
Jedi. They were where they shouldn't have been. Wrong place, wrong time. They must die.
See, Bishop, right. I entirely agree. Now, when I go play a light side character, I'm going to be the polar opposite. But if I'm going dark side, I'm going 100% balls deep, all dark side, all the time. Everybody dies.
I'm going to do something, though, soon that's going to make Marcus very happy.
Well, good. Ooh. So yeah, so you're gonna go light side because I know you want to be.
No, Bishop is not going light. But I'm going to roll a rebel tank.
Oh.
I'm gonna roll a tank on the rebel side, and he will be. What's that word I wanted?
Light side. Oh. Sound it out with me. Light side.
dark. I mean, oh, yeah, yeah.
Slightly less gray.
Yes, that's the way to go. So anyway, so it was fun to follow him through the class story because I love the Sith Warrior class story. That's why I play my Marauder. Yeah. I have like six of them, and I love every minute of it. So I enjoy it, but I've never done Dark Side, so it's just a different version of what I'm used to seeing.
Right.
Also, too, I missed Fun Feeling Mondays this week, so Brian covered for me. Thanks, Brian. I think they did Caraga's Palace with like six people, and they got it down. So that's a pretty good feat. The only other in the next Mega Monthly event will be Friday, July 27th from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, because that's the correct time zone. it will be on the Republic side, and I'm doing it for Zen and BC. We're going to do a Datacron run because it just sounds like fun to me, and I haven't gotten them all. And I'm trying to do things on that event that doesn't involve operations. The next month, maybe we'll do like the Shroud. Bishop, myself, Rack Evan, and this other guy, Spicoli, we did the whole Shroud class story. And we had a blast. It took us like, what, 4 weeks, Bishop?
Yeah, something like that.
Like four Thursdays it took us to do it. It was so much fun.
The jumping, going through that, the car, the hover cars that were like in motion, having to jump across it, that was the fun. That was actually the funnest part of that quest.
And that was the worst part.
Oh, that was fun. I love that's my favorite.
I died the whole time. The only reason why I got to beat it is because Bishop and everybody else were in the cars ahead, but I just kept falling. So then it just advanced me to where they were I fall like 350,000 times. I'm the world's worst jumper.
Didn't Rock Evan yoink you a couple times too?
Yeah, he had to because I'm so terrible. So,
and I thought there was nobody worse than the jumper than him.
Yeah, well, he can't defend himself right now, but I'm definitely worse than him. So every time I get on an airplane, I buy a new game for my 3DS. And so I'm at the local game store, and I'm like, oh, what 3DS game do I want? And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, Super Smash Brothers would be great. Nope, I don't want a fighting game. Mario Kart, nah. I'll play it for like 10 minutes and I'll be done.
God forbid you get a good RPG like Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask remastered in HD for the 3DS.
I've just done it. I've played like too much Zelda. I didn't want that. So what did I buy? Fucking Minecraft.
If you could see how hard I just rolled my eyes.
Yeah. So, all right. So here's the story. So I buy Minecraft, and right after I'm walking out of the store, I get a picture from Dent, former guest, our resident movie reviewer that you guys make fun of me for.
The Masterson of movie reviews.
Yes. See, now you're hooked. It's ingrained. That's who he is. But anyway, he sends me a picture of himself wearing the Death Star Mickey ears.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Well, it was fucking cool. And he's like, hey, do you got your Mickey ears? Yeah. And I was like, well, obviously I got R2-D2. And he's like, and I was like, I just bought Minecraft for the 3DS. He goes, that's not good. And I was like, why? He's like, because you're going to go into a rabbit hole. I'm like, no. He's like, yeah. So I get on this fucking Southwest plane, sit in my seat. I like the window seat because I'm a big guy. So I lean against the wall and I just kind of like
take up less room for the other people.
Yeah. And like, I don't like getting bumped in the aisle. The aisle seat's awful.
Yeah.
So long story short is I just had a technical difficulty. Is it good?
I think it's better.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. So long story short, you don't like the aisle because what?
You get bumped all the time. When I'm a big guy, so when somebody walks by me, I can't help that my fucking Smith & Wesson arm is sticking out into the aisle, right? So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So I look down and start playing this game.
Yeah.
I looked up because the plane's wheels hit the ground. And wow. I was like, we're here? And I looked down at my 3DS and I was like, and I still haven't found coal to start a fire. The fuck have I been doing for the last 2.5 hours?
That's awesome.
So needless to say, I get to Disney, do that. On the way back, I was a little more attentive because I didn't realize somehow, some way, I think Carrie screwed me on this. I picked a seat. I guarantee you I picked a window seat. And all of a sudden, I'm at a complete diagonal on the aisle seat right next to them. And I'm like, I'm calling shenanigans.
Well, was it a Southwest flight?
No, it was JetBlue on the way back.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have assigned seats.
Yeah, you definitely have assigned seats. So I asked her, I said, did you change my seat? And she goes, no, but I would never pick an aisle seat unless there was no window seats available, but there were.
Huh.
So I'm calling shenanigans on my wife. Anyway. Back so I looked down. I would play until she like scream my name across the way because Julia wanted to say hi to me, my daughter. And so then I came home. Mind you, while I was in Disney, I ordered on Amazon a Minecraft book to be here for when I got home.
Which is sitting on the counter next to us.
Yes. And so I downloaded it for the PC. It's awesome.
I'm completely and utterly flabbergasted that you like this game. I tried it before, and I just can't get into it. I like exploration and sandbox games, but it's like too open for me.
I've got to hook you up with my son in Discord because he has Discord. He can teach you how to play the thing.
Well, I have no idea, and I don't need to. But
he ran a server and everything. He was good at it.
Wow,
I like it.
That's dedication. Mm-hmm.
So if all of this sounds fun and you want to come play with us in SOTOR, you hear that? Us now, Nick. Us.
Oh, yeah.
Not just me. Us. we're on the Starforce server, and you can go to aie-guild.org and get our Discord information and then ask an officer there to get you a guild invite. We would love to have you. So hot off the press today, we got a little message from Eric Musco. Nick, do you want to read that?
Sure. So this is from Eric, SOTOR Eric. Hey, folks. One of the topics we have seen quite a bit of feedback about is the viability of tanks in PvP. There are a few reasons for this, which we'd like to address down the line, but we have one change planned for 5.9.2, which we hope will help their survivability in PvP. This will also help incentivize tanks to wear tanking gear in PvP. The bullet point is critical hits are now affected by shield/absorb. Currently, only regular hits from players can be impacted by shield procs.
Mm-hmm.
By including crits, this gives the potential for much more damage mitigation for tanks while being targeted by DPS classes. Here is a very basic example. Let's say a normal hit would do 1,000 damage, and a critical hit would do 2,000 damage. You are a tank with your shield procs. You reduce damage by 25%. Previously, you could reduce the normal hit to 750 damage, but would always take the 2,000 from a crit. After 5.9.2, you can also reduce the critical hit damage down to 1,500. This allows shield and absorb to be a direct counterstat to crit rating for DPS classes. Let us know your thoughts, Eric.
So basically, what they're saying is they're trying to entice tanks to wear tank gear in PvP.
Yeah.
And they're trying to say, hey, we're going to make it fun for you to survive.
Yeah.
No matter what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that. I don't do a lot of PvP because people are really mean in PvP.
Really?
Like, if you don't, like, you know, when you play Call of Duty Domination, if you're not going for the right flag, they're like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
It's basically like that on steroids.
You need to know all the meta game stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm terrible at it.
I found Overwatch was a bit like that after a while. I like left for a while and then came back and didn't know what I was doing. And I got yelled at a bunch.
Yeah. I've PvP'd in Tor, but it's been a while. And I don't know. I think I may have tried it on the tank. I tried it on Bishop. Didn't like it. It's no fun. So I ended up going to a DPS class. A lot more fun to PvP on.
Yeah, for sure. Also, we have still no information on the public test server for all the PvP changes. There's really been a no news train for a while now. And honestly, it's getting a little frustrating for me. Because, you know, I'm hearing players, like, leave the game because there's nothing. And they're telling us all this stuff is coming, but they're not saying anything. And I said this last night, and I guess I'm going to go down the negative train real quick.
Hmm.
I know the answers are coming, but throw something out. Throw a screenshot of a planet that we're going to go to. Hey, coming soon. Here's a screenshot. Like, give us something to get us excited about.
Right.
Instead of just saying, Yeah, exactly. A bone. Throw us the milk bone.
Yeah, put dangle the carrot on the stick a little bit.
Right. Like, give us something to make us excited. Don't. I understand you guys have a huge game that you're working on, and this game is completely taking a back burner for it.
Right.
But yeah. I understand that.
There's got to be one or two devs doing something. Yeah.
It's because if they don't give us something, people are going to leave the game and not come back. They think just because they leave the game and then you announce something cool, they're going to come back. Most people go, fuck you. I'm not going to sub again to a game that you're doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's my one negative train. BioWare, please give us some stuff. Give us something to talk about. And, like, I don't ever like to be negative. Yeah. I don't like it. But I just want something.
I can understand that. I mean, I know what you're saying. It would be nice to know something is coming, some fashion, you know, as opposed to, like, nothing.
Right. And I understand the PvP changes are something that's coming. I do get that. I understand that. But, you know, but it's not for me. Because there's always something that's not going to be for me. I'm actually excited for the PvP changes because people get excited for that.
Right.
It, just like when there's, you know, 2% of the SOTOR population play Ops. There's people that don't even do that and they've played the game for 6 years.
Right.
But they give it to me and I get excited. So I'm excited for the PvP people. But give a PvE something with it. You know,
right.
Flashpoint, yeah. You know, a two-minute dialogue that is like a prequel to what's going to happen. Like you go meet Lana or Theron or somebody, and they're like, hey, this douchebag's coming. Watch out. And, oh, my God, did you see the cutscene? Now people are excited about the game again.
Right.
I mean, to me, doing that is better than saying nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I can't disagree with you there. It's, you know. And even PvPers, they still jump in, and I'm sure they've played their class story and stuff going. Some of the single player content, I bet you they played that too.
Yeah.
So it's not just you know, the PvE stuff is not just for PvEers. You get people that play all aspects of the game. I mean, until I joined AIE, I had very limited experience playing ops groups. Most I've ever done was like Flashpoints and, you know, some of those little four-man.
Oh, the Uprisings.
Yeah, thank you. Couldn't get that word out. The Uprisings. And Rack Evan and I, a lot of times we'll just do them and pull out two DPS companions and go to town.
Right. Exactly. So that's it. You know, that's my complaint of the night.
Yeah.
Because they say no news is good news. Not in this situation.
It's not. Any game is like that. Any single game. If you stop telling people and start communicating with your player base, it's going to negatively impact your players. And it's going to negatively impact the way they see the game, period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
I agree.
Never see it when it doesn't.
And,
and
the thing that kills me is, and I understand this is completely different because it was like the real first one. There's still millions of subscribers to WoW. And there's so many people that play World of Warcraft every day still. And like their community tells them, hey, look forward to this. Look forward to this. They're constantly doing stuff. And I just feel like, you know, the difference is Blizzard has its own entity, which is World of Warcraft, where Star Wars The Old Republic is a Star Wars game, which is owned by Disney and EA, and they're controlling everything else.
Right.
So
right.
That's my rant.
I've got a one of my coworkers who also works for Rack Evan too. He is a World of Warcraft player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and they get news all the time.
They get news, they get content, they get a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in that game.
Yeah, they say if you started playing that game at level 1, it could take you years to get to max level now.
Wow, really?
There's so much content.
Wow. Yeah, it's just not my genre. That's why I've never played. I know people have tried it and played. I like the sci-fi genre. That's why I've stayed away from a lot of these games that don't, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Nick, you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, I would love to.
All right.
We'll be right back. And we're back. So today we're discussing RPGs and MMORPGs, why we prefer one or the other and what we like about them. But before we get right into that, I actually had a bit of a Star Wars question that I thought of before the podcast. Something to wrap your head around. So before we start, if you were force sensitive in real life, what side would you trend towards? You have access to both Jedi and Sith teachings and can do whatever you want with that knowledge. So which side would you trend towards?
Light side.
100% light side?
Bishop? Yeah, all the time.
Dark side.
So I would probably be straight down the middle. I'd like to use both.
Not me.
I won't argue that. I could see doing that too, but not basically being gray Jedi or gray Sith.
Yeah, that's what I would go for. So like I don't have enough Star Wars knowledge to know what side is really better at like healing stuff. But I eventually want to go in the medical field, so I'd like to have a lot of healing abilities, if you will. But so I think that's Sith because Jedi can't bring people back from the dead, right?
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, too, being gray, dark, you're learning dark and you're learning light. Knowledge is power.
Right, that's what I was thinking, too.
So since Marcus is only light, he's weaker.
Right.
Not really. I'm just...
I'm sorry,
more man. Calm. And I'm not a calm person.
Right.
At all.
Right, so it doesn't fit you. You must fall to the dark side. Right.
Yes. I think I'd like to... tap into the dark side for combat stuff, because I think that's pretty clearly the more powerful combat.
Mace Windu.
Yeah, like Mace, exactly. Mace is a great Jedi, right?
Mace Windu was a Jedi. Mace Windu was a Jedi Knight, but I've read the reason this crystal was purple because he managed to stuff a red one and a blue one in his lightsaber, which makes red and blue makes purple. And he bordered on the edge of dark side with his power. He was strong.
Right.
And he was good like, at combat.
This is kind of, I guess, really nitpicking, but I read somewhere that when he uses Mace Windu is the only Jedi that you see doing like a backhand slash, and that's typically a Sith move. So it's just further evidence that he's, you know, sort of a gray Jedi.
If Anakin Skywalker had not intervened, he would have beaten the Emperor.
Yeah, no, he would have killed him.
He would have killed him, and it would have been done and over with.
Mm-hmm. For sure, and that is totally not the Jedi way. The Jedi way is definitely to take him prisoner and have a trial and stuff, but Mace Windu was going to straight up kill him.
He flat out said he's too powerful to leave alive.
Yeah. That's a Sith mantra.
So today we're going to dive into RPGs versus MMOs and the differences.
Yep.
So I guess I'm going to first ask you, Bishop, and then Nick, you can answer. What is your favorite RPG? And then what is your favorite MMO? Bishop?
I don't really know, because I really don't do RPGs that much anymore at all. So okay. I don't really have a favorite, I guess. You know what I mean? All I play is Tor anymore.
Yeah.
Which I think that's my favorite MMO. But RPGs, there's really... I've played a few different ones, you know, that are not sci-fi, like, you know, like my train games and stuff like that. And I haven't played any, there's a few other things, but I don't really have favorite. Just kind of whatever breaks the monotony, but I like Tor.
Great. So for me, as far as leaning one way or the other, I'm definitely an RPG kind of guy, a regular RPG. You know, prior to playing SOTOR, which I've definitely fallen in love with. But for favorite of all time, that's hard to pick, man. If I had to choose one, it'd probably be Fallout New Vegas. But
you played that game for fucking hundreds of hours.
Yeah, dude. Like probably close to 1,000 hours on New Vegas. I played a good 500 plus on the PC. And I played two other characters, like two save files that were 250 hours on my Xbox 360.
Wow.
So that's a lot of New Vegas. But besides that, I also really like the Fallout 3 and, you know, Bethesda's, which I didn't play quite as much, like 200 something hours. The Zelda games from Wind Waker on, I've played all of them because Wind Waker was like the newest one when I was a kid. By the time I was old enough to like actually know how to play those games, Wind Waker was like the newest one that came out. Also recently the Middle Earth games, Shadow of Mordor and then Shadow of War, I really like too. Those aren't so much, you know,
those are like action RPG.
Yeah, it's more of an action RPG. There's less like character development. It's kind of, you know, linear in that aspect, but I really like that those games too. So yeah, I'm an RPG guy. Fallout New Vegas is my favorite.
So it's a hard call for me because RPG, I have three. So Final Fantasy VII.
Yep. It's a fantastic game.
Yeah, like, wow. I remember playing that, and I played it for 85 hours as a kid. I couldn't do it now. Like, I see the new Final Fantasy 15, and I want to play it because it looks – actually, we played it at PAX.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it looked beautiful, and I was like, I got to get this. And then I'm like, I can't invest 80 hours into a game.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with SOTAR?
Yeah, I think that's what I put into Shadow of War was, like, 80 hours, and it was, like, all I played
right. For
a couple months.
Yeah, you're not allowed to not play SOTOR. That's not allowed.
Right. So right. So I have say Final Fantasy VII, Mass Effect 2
was
an RPG, but it like they kind of took out a lot of the RPG elements, but it was still an RPG.
Yeah, that's closer to like an action RPG ish. Yeah. More of an RPG than the Middle Earth games.
Right. I loved that game.
Yeah.
And then Knights of the Old Republic is still my favorite of all time. And that's not because I'm a Star Wars nerd, but I remember being a kid or a teenager when that game came out for the original Xbox, and they were like, it's a Star Wars game, but it's set 3,000 years or 4,000 years before A New Hope. And I was like, what? They're like, yeah, there's this dude, Revan. And I'm like, who the fuck is Revan? They're like, find out. And then there was awesome puzzles in the game, and then you met Darth Malak, and it was just and you saw a time and place where there was Jedi and Sith, and you were like, I immersed myself into it. I think I played it 8 times.
Yeah.
And the last puzzle always got me. I think I only got through it once without cheating. And when I said cheating, I looked in the guidebook. Because back then, there was no YouTube or the Google to
to look stuff up.
Yeah, to look stuff up.
You had to buy the...
Let me ask you something real quick. Yeah? Did you ever play KOTOR 2?
Yes, I didn't like it.
I was told by one of my guildies when we played SWG that the end of KOTOR 2, the way it was done, they basically passed the game to Obsidian and said, here's all the stuff we did, go make it. They didn't do a really good job, but apparently there's some fan-made endings for it out there that they finished the game. Fans actually finished the game, finished all the companion quests off and everything. I've never played it, never seen it, but I'm told it's out there on the internet. You download it, you add it to the game, it changes the whole game.
Wow.
Well, I have to look into the game.
They literally finished off. Fans basically were not happy with KOTOR 2. They went out there and they finished programming it, and they finished the game and made it available on the internet as a free download, so you can just plug it into the KOTOR 2 and it'll finish the game off correctly.
Wow.
It doesn't leave you hanging. That's what I've been told.
Hmm. Well, then that's, you know, something to look into. So my favorite MMO obviously is SOTOR. I've tried other MMOs, WildStar, World of Warcraft. I tried The Division, Destiny, which those are more new age MMOs, but they're still an MMO.
Sure.
I don't like the third person view.
Okay.
I don't like, actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't like tuck and cover games. I don't like how you run and then hide behind a barrel and pop out and do shots and
like
pop back
in. Like a Red Dead Redemption or a GTA style combat.
That I do.
Because Mass Effect's like fluid, that a little bit, but
like I just didn't like The Division. I liked the story behind it. I thought the story behind it was awesome.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like it.
It was like the game mechanics.
I didn't like the map. If a game, like I'm trying to play Elder Scrolls Online, I just can't fucking get into it.
Yeah.
I just can't. I don't know if it's because it's fantasy and I'm not a fantasy guy.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that excites me about an elf and a dwarf. The only time I want to play something like that is if I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
And I get to be like fucking the Hulk.
Diggledorf.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my characters' names, but carrying around a giant fucking hammer and just smashing Hulk smashing people, you know? but either way, so I would have to say SOTOR because it's really the only one I've invested.
Right.
But I've never invested so much time into a game before. And I don't know if it's because of the guild we're in. I don't know if it's because I just love the game this much. I don't know what it is, but I love the fucking game. I absolutely love the game. I've played so many games, and there's so many games that I want to play, but I don't play them because of Star Wars The Old Republic. Like, if I'm playing Minecraft, I want to stop playing to play SOTOR.
Right. That's how
I feel like too. I'm cheating. So,
well, it's the people, in my opinion. I think it's the people. I mean, come on, man. Who does not want to be on Sunday night's raid team?
Well, I agree. I agree because we have a lot of fun and the chemistry's there.
Exactly. We have a good time.
But I've seen other raid teams that, like, you know, people aren't as committed as we are. You know, I see us, and maybe it's the AIE community that keeps everybody together, but everybody shows up every week. I hear about other teams that, you know, they're always searching for, you know, 2, 3, 4 players every week. You know, I don't know.
If it's the AIE community. I think it has a lot to do, in my opinion, with just my personal opinion, with the raid leader. In this case, that would be you.
Well,
we have a good time. You have a positive attitude, man. You're energy, a lot of energy. We have fun. And you know, you as a raid leader realize, okay, you know what? We just keep wiping on this one. There's only so many times you can do that. Let's turn around and do something else that we can actually walk away with and have a good feeling for the night.
Sure. Well, a lot of times too, there's you know, sometimes you just don't want everybody to be down in the dumps. And, right. You know, but this brings me back into the segue for asking this question. So SOTOR is a $15 a month game, right? So we pay $15, all three of us. We're paying, well, Nick's still riding high on his free subscription.
Hashtag thanks, Ted. No, Brian gave me, no.
Ted,
thank you. God, I am horrific with names. If Marcus is what is written on his forehead, I would forget his name all the time.
Well, that's not true. So my point is, my question to you guys is, so if you pay $15 a month, that's $180 a year. Yeah. That's three video games. Forget, because you're going to pay the same amount of tax, whether you're paying $15 a month or you're paying $180, yeah. $360 games, same tax. So do you find paying $15 a month for one game for a year and mm-hmm. playing the shit out of that game, or buying three individual games in a year, what's more satisfying? Nick?
I would say if you're willing to play that game all year long, at the one game for $180 a year is worth it for sure. It's like, for example, I'm obviously subscribed to SOTOR, and I can see myself playing it for at least, a year. So I think SOTOR is worth it. But when I played New Vegas, I definitely played $180 worth of time for that. And I probably played all of the Bethesda,
first person RPGs. And you only paid $60 for it.
I only paid $60 for it, or in some cases even less. Or, well, I paid $120 maybe more than $60, I should say, because I bought it for two platforms. But still, yeah, I would say it's definitely worth it. If you're putting in that much time to where you're playing two or three games worth of time on one game, it's worth paying the extra money for. And I think it's fair to give the developers or company or whatever that made that game and made such a playable product the extra money.
Yeah. What do you think, Bishop?
I'm actually subbing on 6 months or whatever. I think 6 months is the max you can do it one time. I do the maximum sub, which is huge. If that kind of half answers it right there, but going with your analogy, okay, three games three games, $60 a pop. All right. Are they going to be three games you're going to play? Going to be three games you're going to get bored of? Right, you know, yes. You play for a little bit and then pass it off. And then, okay, you just, it's basically, all right, well, I'm done with it now. I beat it. I did my thing. Tour, different story. There's right. a lot of stuff to do. They're still putting things in the game. And it, to at least experience everything once is going to take a while. You know, right. And then there's the people dynamic, which is a whole different animal.
Right.
Of course. Just adds to the game.
Yes. And that made something pop into my head hearing you say that. So when you pay $15 a month mm-hmm. for a game, they're getting their constant money every month to update the game and fix the game.
Yeah.
Where that's why what bothers me about the games of now is I'm going to give Destiny as an example. They released Destiny, and instead of releasing the whole game that they had made, right. they slimmed it down and cut it down to X because they wanted to save Y and Z to charge $30 as expansions, but they were supposed to be in the regular game.
Right.
So on launch day, there's already two expansions that are ready to come out 2 months later. So you're actually end up spending, you know, $120 in the first year right. for that game.
Yep.
And so they say, oh, nobody wants to pay a subscription. I would much rather pay a subscription, give the developers constant money to be able to upgrade. Now, with the last expansions in SOTOR, they released it as a chapter basis. So when you subscribed, you got the content. But in past expansions, mm-hmm. they charged $20 for the expansion at the same time as you paying $15 a month.
Oh, so you have to pay an additional $20 to get the expansion.
Correct. So I believe that – I don't know if that's worth it or not.
Right.
Because the way they did it was they said if you sub – like you subbed for 1 month now, Nick,
yeah.
you could never sub again and you'll have all of the new content.
Right. Which I do. It's all downloaded. I have the quest markers and all that stuff.
Correct. So now, where does, you know, what does BioWare do to the next expansion? Do they just say, okay, the $15 you pay once? Or do they say you have to be subbed for 2 months and you get it? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Or have been subbed 2 months prior.
2 months prior and yeah. you get the whole thing.
Right.
You know, so then they're getting their $30 for their expansion. Plus, you know, and it's all included in the sub. So that's what I'm curious to see.
That's a good point.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. I think some of this, like where they tried the expansion and made you pay for it. I mean, it was probably let's try it and see what happens kind of thing. You know what I mean? And maybe they've tried it and it didn't work out so well because lately it's been, you know, you get stuff if you're subbed. You know, 2 months prior to this, you'll get it. Or when you resub, you'll get it. Or, you know, you just need to be subbed to get the content. And okay, whatever. It's actually worth it because I don't have any limitations on what I can do. I can have as many characters as I want. And I can, you know, biggest thing is I'm not limited on what I can do. I can play and run ops and anything else as many times as the game will allow.
Sure.
So
that brings me into my next question.
Actually, not to cut you out, but before we move on, I just want to make one more point that I had here. Just to further what your analogy of subbing $15 a month is well worth it. Take a game that's mostly single player, like Wolfenstein, for example, the new Wolfenstein game. I paid $60 for that happily, but it's only really like a 12-hour campaign or so, maybe 20 hours at the most. So I'm paying $60 and only playing it for like, say, 20 hours.
Yep.
But I'm satisfied with that. I knew what I was getting into when I bought that game. So
there's no multiplayer or anything in it?
You're not going to do it.
Yeah, I'm not.
You bought it for the storyline.
Right. If there is, I don't think there is a B. If there is, I'm not going to play it for that. But I'm satisfied with that $60 for 20 hours of gameplay. Now, a SOTOR, I can put in hundreds of hours in a year easily. You know what I mean? For way more time per dollar, it's well worth it to pay a subscription fee. Although it may be kind of a crappy feeling to pay that $15 a month, versus the one-time $60. But the time you spend playing the game versus the dollar amount you're paying is well worth it for a lot for like an MMO that you can enjoy that much, right? But anyways, I just wanted to say that.
No, I agree with you. Do you? This is probably I'm dating myself big on this one. Do you guys remember Duke Nukem?
Yeah, of course
we did. Shake it, baby.
Yeah, I played those games, and I mean it's the same thing. You pay a big, you pay a large amount of money up front. You get the game, and you get only X amount of hours out of it, and you can only play it so many times.
Right.
It's before like, it's you're doing okay, the same thing over and over.
But that's where that's how back then the easy, medium, and hard really came into play.
Oh,
so when you started when you played Duke Nukem for the first time, and you played Come Get Some at level, which was like their middle of the road. Or that was their easiest. It was Get Some, Come Get Some, and then Can You Handle This Shit or something ridiculous like that. And so you play, let's say you want to start it off light because you're not really good at the whole WASD or a controller or whatever.
Yeah.
So you do the easiest level and you're like, oh, this is fucking fun. I'm just blowing up alien women.
Yeah.
And like alien naked dudes, you know what I mean? Whatever. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to do the middle content. And you're like, holy shit, this is a lot harder. I'm shooting a lot more ammo. And then you beat that, and then you do the hardest content, and you're like, fuck, this is hard. Okay, there's a new game out.
Right.
Move on.
Right.
Because there was no real RPGs back. Well, maybe there was when Duke Nukem came out.
Yeah, definitely. They just weren't into them. They might not have been as mainstream.
Right. So that brings, where I say, like, a shooting game brought in RPG elements was Half-Life.
Right.
I don't know if you ever played Half-Life.
I did not, though.
Okay. I didn't either, but I've seen it played, so I know the game.
Yeah, so they put puzzles in their game. There was shooting, and you did that, but there was also RPG elements, and I think that changed the game for, the shooting genre from just running around Wolfenstein 3D with, naked lady code or the Nazi walls
in
your invisible walls. And you just run through walls and get to the final boss because it's basically just made and it looks like a giant maze in MS-DOS.
Yeah.
Microsoft DOS, you know what I mean? And it's made it so we can enjoy these games, but like you said about Wolfenstein, you pay the $60.
Yeah.
But you know what you're getting. You know you're getting 12 hours of content or 20 hours
or whatever it is, yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
No, I was just going to say, so it brings you back to, do you pay $15 a month to a game that you absolutely love, like myself and Bishop, and you're starting to fall into that rabbit hole?
Yep.
Or until you'll play it until your next big title comes out that you've been waiting 2 years in development for that you'll immerse yourself in?
Right.
Hey, you guys ever played Doom?
Yes.
You ever see the original one?
Yes. Yeah. Also, yes.
Yeah. I've also played Command and Conquer too. They've been kind of fun.
They're making a new one.
Are they really?
Yeah. So it's going to be a mobile Command and Conquer. They may release it for the PC, but it's going to be a mobile version. If you go to the Google and you type in Command and Conquer mobile, or new Command and Conquer, they're going to come out with it.
That's cool.
There's another one I played too, and I can't remember what it's called. It was a turn-based sci-fi type game where you moved, and the map would reveal itself to you as you moved. And I can't remember what
StarCraft.
Nah, not StarCraft.
Yeah,
I can't remember. Kind of like StarCraft, but. Yeah. We actually had a gamer conference one time in Atlantic City years ago. Well, we did last year, but I mean way many years ago, StarCraft and League of Legends.
That's cool.
And League of Legends is still, they just hit 1 billion subscribers on
Twitch.
Did they
really?
On Twitch. They have 1 billion subscribers. League of Legends is the biggest game in the world right now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Bigger than Warcraft.
Oh, it blows it away. We're to 1 billion subscribers. Wow. When they have the League of Legends tournaments, like the actual like esport, there's hundreds of thousands of people watching it on Twitch.
That's crazy.
They did in the early days. They did a StarCraft and League of Legends at Bally's in Atlantic City, and it was neat to see. I mean, literally, I helped set that one up, and that was the first year they had. They took a AMD chip, and they were nitrous cooling it, and playing League of Legends. Had like overclocked to four gigahertz.
Whoa.
4.2 gigahertz or 4.3 gigahertz, and they were playing League of Legends on three monitors, smooth as silk. I was watching like, wow.
That's awesome.
And yeah. I want to run 4K on three monitors. I need another Titan.
yes, you might need two more.
No, I think one more will do it.
Think so?
I've been researching it, but my wife will kill me. So
what she doesn't know won't hurt you.
Oh, she'll see it come out of the PayPal account. Oh. So she'll be pissed. Anyway, so I got to ask you, why do you like MMOs or RPGs? I guess, which do you prefer?
Yep.
And why do you play them, Nick?
Well, let me just put a little caveat before I dive in. I really like SOTOR, so SOTOR's kind of screwing up my typical answer here.
But you just started playing it.
Right. So
it could be flavor of the month.
A month. That's true. A month ago, I would answer it like this. For me, I really prefer an RPG. You know, like I said before, I'm big into like basically Bethesda's first person RPGs, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas. I liked Fallout 4 a lot too, but just it was a lot different. I played Oblivion a lot, and I played the shit out of Skyrim. The biggest thing is probably has to do with like the escapism of it. I get to be a character in a world totally separate from, you know, normal reality, and I can just, you know, go and play and don't have to think about whatever might be stressing me out in real life. You know what I mean? And something that in an MMO or even a shooter or something like that, that might be multiplayer, that would take me out of that is, you know, seeing other people's usernames and stuff can remind me, you know, if I stop and think about it, I always know I'm playing a game, but subconsciously I might forget a little bit if I'm playing an RPG in, you know, and I'm walking through Skyrim. But if I'm playing SOTOR, if I'm playing Call of Duty or something like that, and I see somebody's username, it might take me out of it just a little bit for a second and know, oh yeah, this is a game and that's another person also playing the game. So for me, I really like RPGs, and it has a lot to do with just going and escaping to this other universe, basically. Just kind of like getting into a really good book, you know? You just escape regular life for a while. But that's just me.
It's a great answer. What about you, Bishop?
I'm an MMO guy. I like the teamwork. I liked, like, when I played Star Wars Galaxies, we used to do what they called heroics, which is the same thing as ops. And I mean, we had them on farm, basically. And then when I went to when I moved from Bloodfin to Starsider, the guild I got in with did everything. It was kind of, the guild was called SR, which stood for Sinister. Yes, it was dark. Anyway, the thing is, they were a lot like AIE. They did a little of everything, including PvP. And we played the imp side. And really, I mean, we were so, this guild, they were so good at PvP, okay, that a lot of times in PvP, I played a medic. Okay, I was the healer. So I would get to the line at Rustus first a lot of times, and the rebels across the line would be saying in plain chat, they go, you know, where's Ibar? He's a guild leader. And I'm like, he'll be here shortly. So he would roll up with a couple other guildies, and some other guildies would show up. They all would tip their hat to this guy. That's how much respect they had for him. It was, for me, it's the MMO thing, is it's the people. I like meeting new people. I like hanging out. It's like you guys are friends. I mean, come on, Marcus. You sent me a poster, man. I mean, come on. Who who, no one's ever done that for me before like that. You know what I'm saying? And it's cool. It's just, you know, I mean, I got a new friend. I got a friend for life. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
It's a people thing. It's the people. It's talking to people. I come in. You know what I do? I come in, as I said when we started this podcast, you know, Sith Lord by night. Okay. I come in and I just wield the lightsaber. And if it moves, and if it's red, it's dead. And if it's yellow, I turn it red, then I kill it. Anyway, I have a good time. We have a great time. And yes, it's always the Marauder's fault. Whatever that is.
I would end the show right on that, but I didn't even answer yet. It is not always the Marauder's fault. You guys just blame me. But for me, I would say I play games to be social.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm a super social person.
That's clear.
Yeah. I enjoy conversating. I enjoy playing games with other people. That's why I loved, people talk shit to me like, how could you have ever played Call of Duty? I'm like, what do you mean? Back in the day when the first 12 people that signed on after work all got into one thing and we just talked shit to each other all night long until it was time to go to bed.
Like, dude, you're 4 and 12. Are you going to fucking wake up at some point tonight or what?
Yeah, exactly. Like that was the best part of that. Yeah. And that, I think, you know, when SOTOR first came out, it was Call of Duty's height. And I was like, fuck, Call of Duty's exciting. SOTOR's boring as shit. Yeah. But then later on in my life, I played it again. I'm like, wow, this story's fucking great.
Yeah.
And I just immersed myself into it. And then I was involved in a guild in it. And I started to understand it. But I didn't really start to fall deep into the hole until I got in the AIE guild. And then I just started meeting people and being me. And now I know people across the game, podcasts in the game for the game, you know, players that, you know, I would have never met if I just stuck into one realm. But now I know all these people and I like the social aspect of it. Like Bishop said, I can chat with him, about anything. And just because I'm not there sitting in front of him like I'm sitting in front of you doesn't mean he's not a friend.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, 100%. So the MMO has brought me to finding myself again. And that's why I love the MMO. I'm going to be sad someday when SOTOR's gone. Hopefully there's another one to replace it.
I'm sure.
Let's hope.
There'll be something.
Yeah. We can only hope. But anyway, I think I escape into the other world, but I like to be social.
Yeah.
And I get to be me.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like at work, I'm social, but I can't be – I'm the real me, but I'm not the real me.
Yeah, you got to, have a face of professionalism sort of.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say you got to be professional at work to a certain degree. You can't just be enjoyable.
Yeah, right. I can't just be me. So, right. But, Bishop, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great time talking with you guys.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.